Lord, I just thank you for bringing this group together to minister to you and to hear from your heart and to be your body in ways that would help you in the things of your desire for others, your love for others, to reach so much further. And so, Father, just minister to us this morning or this afternoon or evening, whenever we are listening to this or whatever time zone we're in, that your Holy Spirit knows no boundaries in time and space. He is God, he is Spirit, and we are one in him. So fill us with your heart in these things. We just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am going to have some special things today about evangelism that we've done in the past, and I think you're going to love it. So we're going to watch some videos and get a taste of what we've done in the past and maybe even drink in a little bit of the Spirit of Christ in the body pouring out his life to others. And it's been a long journey of living Christ in this way as his body, and we want to continue in the Spirit that Jesus asked us to go in to take the gospel to the ends of the world. Hallelujah. So before we watch our first video, which Lindsay's going to screen share for us here in just a moment, I want to give the students, being this is our second to last class, their final. So this is your final, students. I would like you to go to the Other Place website. And Myrcha, you have the passwords, and you're one of the web masters of that website. So if Isaac, if you need to get on there to make changes and such, you can work with Myrcha on that, and she can help you do those things. But I would like you guys to go to the Other Place website and prepare it for the Ireland evangelistic mission trip. All the tracks we're going to be handing out are going to have the Other Place website, and it's, you know, the other-place.com website as a place that people can go if they're hungry and if they want more and if the Spirit of God is drawing their hearts. So we want to make sure that testimonies are up, and whatever they click when they come to that homepage, that the Lord has prepared a table for them to be able to be fed, be drawn, go deeper. And so if you guys could just relook at the whole website, see what things need to be modified, changed, added, developed, maybe laid out in a way that when people see it, they're like, wow, I think it's there already on certain fronts. But I feel like the Spirit of God wants a fresh and living touch on it. You know, sometimes we can just think in terms of, I don't know what the word is, but just the duty or the need. But God is looking for spirit and life. You know what I mean? And if we go back to, for example, this conduit, which is the website God had us working on for evangelism, which is coming at us now in a month, if we go back to it in a broken and contrite spirit, filled with spirit and life, and we put that oil and that wine and that liquid myrrh in the Spirit of the Lamb onto that website, just doing it in that spirit begins to prepare it for people to receive the Lord when they press on the page. You know, something of the Spirit of God will touch them more than just the layout if we go in that spirit. It's the same spirit we do in the outreach called transcribing. When we transcribe in a broken, in a contrite spirit, and we pour the Lamb into it, our tears, our oils, our hunger, as we transcribe, as we edit, then there's more than just good editing and transcribing. There's oil-soaked, rich pages. You know, the Bible is a blood-soaked book. Every letter, every word is soaked in blood. There's power in those words because it's all soaked with lamb, slaughtered lamb life. It's not a magical thing. It's not a grammatical thing. It's not a good literature thing. It's that every word is blood-soaked. That's where the power is when you read the Word of God. There's no other book on earth that's blood-soaked. There's one book on earth that's blood-soaked. It's the Bible. So that's why it's so powerful. Well, that same principle holds true with the outreach, the evangelistic outreach of our website or the books that we do with transcribing. If they're soaked with a certain spirit, if they're done in a certain spirit of the Lamb, then there's power there beyond the words. There's power there because of the spirit we did it in. Does that bear witness to anybody and make sense? So let's hold on to that in these particular conduits of reaching out beyond our borders, beyond our walls, and sharing the word of life, that others might be saved, that others might grow in his image, that others might partake of the good feast we've been given. Amen. So hallelujah for that. Well, now we're going to transition to some of our past times of evangelism. The one we're going to start with and begin our class with is from July 2008. So that's many, many years ago. It's in a place that we're going to in a month. It's in Ballina. It's actually the same exact month, July, that we're going in to the same area of Ireland in 1 month from today, or a month and a week from today. So this is a picture of what God did in the evangelistic outreach that went there 14 years ago or 16 years ago or whatever. And I want you to get a little taste of the Spirit of Jesus in his body as they poured out life all over this part of Ireland that we're going to be going back to do evangelism in a month and a half, or in a month and a week. So I'll ask Lindsay to screen share that, and I'm going to turn the lights down in the room so we can watch the video here. Well, there you go. That's just a little taste of just one form of evangelism. But you can feel in that just the spirit of, you know, the body of Jesus joyfully coming together and sharing his life. And, you know, there's all forms. We've been talking about literature and websites. Well, there's puppets and there's parades and there's Bible clubs and there's street evangelism and different forms the Lord's given us over the years. And we'll look more at that as we go. But, you know, doesn't your heart just want to be a part of sharing life with the body of Jesus and pouring it out together? And so I have another really, really special video that we may watch today, or we may watch at our last class, which is next week. But for now, I'd like us to turn to chapter 6 for the students, page 66. And we're just going to read a little bit, just a few snippets from that chapter in our evangelism book that's on hindrances in evangelism. So I will just begin on page 68 in the book. And this is, once again, out of chapter 6 in the Change the World Evangelism course. And in the second paragraph reads, hindrances. Hindrances to the believer, fear and doubt. There are many different types of doubts and fears that a soul winner will encounter. I have listed here 6 of the most common fears to be faced. Fear because of feelings of unworthiness and guilt. We feel that we are too bad to witness. 2. Fear of being inadequate and not knowing enough. 3. Fear of man. 4. Fear of failure. 5. Fear of rejection. And 6. Fear of witnessing. So in reading those fears, maybe some of you can kind of relate to that, oh, I'm not worthy. How can I share about Jesus when there's sin in my life and I need so much more of the Lord formed in me? I'm a failure. How can I honestly share about the Lord being such a mess, etc.? Or just fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of the shame of, like Timothy dealt with, of preaching the gospel and bearing maybe the rejection because of it. That Paul was so willing to fellowship with the Lord's sufferings in. Fear of just witnessing. I'm not a witnesser. You know, as we could see in those videos, Joseph is a witnesser. So everybody would go, well, Joseph, he's got the gift to witness. And it's true. There are a lot of certain people that the Lord just really flows through in witnessing. It's just like breathing to them. And you can see the Spirit of the Lord in them. But that doesn't negate that all of us were called upon by the Lord Jesus Christ to take this gospel to the ends of the earth and share and be witnesses of the risen Son. And so that commission is upon all of us. It's not according to special people who have this special way with evangelism and all the rest of us just cower back and don't share life. No, we are the body of Jesus and we all know the Lord and have the witness of his life in our hearts. And yes, some people may be more filled with the spirit of praying for those who are out there witnessing, and others may have that music to pour over the environment to bring a sense of the Lord's presence, to usher in the Lord's true presence. And that's true. We all do have a certain place as his body, as members in particular. But we all are evangelists. we all are called upon by the Lord, commissioned even, to share the gospel. And so we don't have to be afraid. Where the Lord has guided, he provides. And we can boldly speak forth the truth as it is in Jesus in love, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we get filled up with the Holy Spirit. Like we looked at in our first classes in Acts chapter 2, we get filled up with the living God. He shakes our earth. He fills our earth. And we come as vessels filled up with another life. And we let the Lord be the testimony. There's also things here where, you know, it's not about us. It's not about our perfection. It's not about how good we're doing in the Lord or how much Christ is formed in us or how much fruit we're bearing. We're declaring Jesus. We're talking about not ourselves. We're not trying to convince people that we're good or holy, that we're trying to lift up Jesus. And we can even lift him up in our lack and in our need as this wonderful, merciful, incredibly tender Father, this Lamb who gives his life daily to keep us in oneness, that he might fill every part by grace, you know, just incredible ways of sharing this person, this God, three in one, and the beauty of who they are. Truly, it's who they are. It's who Jesus is. It's what God did when he gave his Son. It's the love of God made manifest on the cross that none should perish. It's their message. It's not ours. It didn't start with us getting saved and us doing good. It started with God creating a world and creating mankind that they might be inhabited with his Son. It started with God sending his Son, the eternal counsels of the Godhead, desiring to send Jesus so that he could be the life, that all men could be in his image, be partakers of the divine nature, be one with the Lamb. It started with them. It's their gospel. It's their plan from the beginning. We're speaking on their behalf. They're the ones sending us based on the things of their heart, the purposes that they had before the foundation of the world, the plan they enacted when God died in the person of his Son, and what the Spirit carried forth from that risen Son after his death, that all men might partake of that grace. So once we start thinking on the basis of, oh my goodness, this is not about me, this has nothing to do with me except he asked me to share the good news, right? Not be the good news. He didn't ask me to be the good news. His Son is the good news. He asked me to share the good news. Amen. So that can begin to calm those fears. And it also gets the spotlight of our mind and heart off of ourselves. You know, that pro-self spirit can sneak in to evangelism and want to make it all about us. It's all about me. But instead of saying I'm a great witnesser, it says I can't witness. I'm afraid of witnessing. I'm not good at witnessing. I notice how many times the word I is used in all of that. It's all about my fear, my lack. Get your eyes on Jesus. Lift up your eyes and look at the Lamb. Let the Holy Spirit lift up your heart past your personal tendencies and fears to love for Jesus. And you will feel boldness start to enter you, boldness to do what you wouldn't do for yourself, but you would do for love. Love for Jesus and love for others. You'll say, you know what? Forget about my silly fears. Forget about me always being in the center and it all being about how I feel. I love Jesus. I want God to have a voice in this earth declaring who he is. I care about their heart. I care about these people. All of a sudden, perfect love will start casting out fear. Having your heart set on another and turning away from you will get it off of the big I and all of its tendencies and fears and preferences and I can'ts. You know what I mean? It's simple. It's not complicated. It's how love works. So it's this love that draws us out there. So, you know, whether it be that we're afraid because we're a failure, it's not about us. It's about God and his Son. It's about the eternal Godhead's purpose in creating the universe, in sending his Son, and in creating every vessel to be filled up with that Son. And then if we're worried about our own tendencies, it's not about our tendencies. It's not about our preferences. It's about loving God and his needs, loving others who need to know Jesus, souls that are, you know, have been taken captive by the God of this world and are in chains of darkness. And nobody, no child of light is coming to shine light into that darkness. You know, I don't know if you've ever been that person who was ensnared by the evil one and stuck so deeply in the mire of this old nature that you were helpless, you were ensnared, you were dead in sin. You needed someone to come and shed light, bring the light of life, share the good news. You can do it for them. Someone came to you. Will you go for them? You know, what's more important, your personal fears and tendencies and preferences or their life, their eternal life and God's need for arms and feet that will extend forth his heart through his body? You know, guilt can be used by a lot of ministries. A lot of people can guilt you into evangelism. You know, there is a lot of guilt points. They're going to go to hell if you don't share. And, you know, all of that can really mess with you and cause you to go in a wrong spirit and truly be afraid. Well, we're not talking about that. You know, that kind of guilt is, you know, using that to motivate someone, in my opinion, to witness, and it's spoken of in this course as well. God isn't trying to guilt us into sharing the gospel. It's not his nature. Amen. The devil will, because he knows we'll go out there and misrepresent the true spirit of Jesus, because we'll be legalistic and full of fear. That's not the Lord's heart. But we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is there a place to consider that people are going to hell and they are in chains of darkness and they need someone to come? Is that not true? Can that just be a real thing that we're not going to guilt anybody over, but we still have to look at? Though a million ministries may have used it to guilt people into witnessing for their program, can we not look at it from a pure heart and just say, somebody's dying out there, can I be the life raft that Jesus rides over to them on? Amen? That's different. And if I'm not that life raft, can I believe God will send one and just pray? You know, we aren't their last hope. We're not. But someone has to step up to the plate. You know, if every human being that was given free will said, well, I'm not the last hope, God will send somebody else. If everyone used their free will to say that as an excuse for not going, no one would go. Lord, let it be me. Let it be me that says yes. And if they say no, you can send someone else later, but let it be me. You know, and that's not a guilt thing. Again, that's just a heart issue. And to whatever degree, to whatever measure, Lord, let it be me. Let my heart respond by love and not guilt and not legalism. I know that it can be very easy to dismiss the need for evangelism because I'm not an evangelist. Our focus is not evangelism. God doesn't have me in evangelism. You know, right now I'm just a learner. But listen, folks, all that is fine on the debate table of certain isolated issues. But let's talk nature. What if instead of saying all that, I just said, I'm just going to keep taking. God doesn't want me to give. He has me as a taker. I will only take. And because giving is only voluntary in the kingdom of God, I choose to just keep taking and never give. Now, we don't say that. We say, I'm not called to that. I'm called to learning. I'm called to things that feed me, that fill me, that nourish Christ in me. That is taking. When comes the day when you give some of that which was given to you? Amen. When do those excuses, however noble and spiritual they may sound, become unveiled for what they might be? Just self escaping the cross. Just self making amazing excuses to not let Jesus live, to stop up the life of the Lamb in you. Don't you just love me as a teacher? I'm just a nightmare, aren't I? But I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. And I am going to say that I'm guilty many times of this very thing. So I'm not saying it as if I'm not the one being dealt with. But someone has to say it in a right spirit. In a right spirit. You know, speaking the truth in love is okay. And being broken and being the one needing it is even better. But I believe it needs to be said. And I believe some of these things need to be looked at for what they are. Because it's so easy to say, send them, Lord. The excuses are they come so natural. And let me tell you, there's never a good day to go evangelize. Never. There will always be a multitude of reasons, whether it be physical or psychological or situational. It couldn't be me today. I'm not feeling well enough for it. There's too many chaotic situations in my life. You wouldn't want me to go today. My soul is messed up. I'm freaking out. I can't help others when I'm this way. They're all excuses. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus in you in the middle of all that crazy spirit, soul, and body? Who's God sending? His son. Who are you declaring? Jesus. That means every day is a good day to evangelize, no matter how we feel or how we're doing. We can trust the Holy Spirit who is in us, the third person of the Godhead who's in us, to lift up Jesus in us and in the boldness of the Spirit, share life with someone. And guess what? One of the greatest remedies for a sick body, a messed up soul, and a day full of bad situations is being a vessel of the life of Jesus. Man, once you let the Lord start coming out of you to somebody else in selfless giving, your body starts quickening by the life. You know, he quickens your mortal flesh by what? The Spirit of Jesus. Well, how do you get the Spirit of Jesus filling your mortal flesh? By letting him give himself through you. There's an answer to healing. Give your life for others. And the Spirit of the Lamb starts quickening your mortal flesh. Oh, I can't give my life for others till my mortal flesh is quickened. Oh, you got the order wrong. You give, and then he quickens as that Spirit fills your members. That's a scripture. That's not my own personal take. Quickened by the Spirit of Jesus in our mortal flesh. And then our soul, we start declaring, we start speaking the truth in faith, trying to help somebody else know Jesus. Guess what your soul does? It starts lining up with the Word of God. It starts declaring the truth. That sword of the Spirit starts slaying doubt and unbelief. Now you've got your body being quickened by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Your soul being lined up because you're using the sword of the Spirit and you're speaking the truth and declaring it in love and faith. Doubt, unbelief are being slain right and left. And the situations, all of a sudden, those trials become gold. Opportunities to prove and test this gospel is real in my life today. Well, all those excuses just got wrapped up in a beautiful gift to the Father, filled with his Son, because you chose to go even when it wasn't a perfect situation in your life to go. Amen. Isn't it true? How many gazillion stories could be shared from the generations of mankind, of missionaries around the world, evangelists around the world, just members of the body of Jesus all over the earth, of all tribes and nations and denominations and every kind of shape and size, that just put God and others first and experienced miraculous supply of life on every level. You know, it says these signs follow. We're wanting the sign to come first. Give me the sign of healing. Give me the sign of my soul being saved. Give me the sign of everything going good in my life. But Jesus said what? These signs, they follow. You put the word first. You put sharing the gospel first. You don't put the signs following first. I need the signs. I need witnessing to follow the signs. So after I'm healed and after my soul's fixed and after everything's lined up in my life, miraculously, because that's God's part. He's just got to do that because he's God. Then I'll go and share the word. But you just totally perverted the scriptures and reversed the order of God's word. God says those signs follow the word. You preach the gospel and those signs will follow. First you give, and then there's a manifestation of that's my son. He gave his life through you. He didn't put his body, soul first. And now I'm going to manifest with signs following that that is where my pleasure lies. Amen? Amen? No fun, is it? No excuses today, huh? Our excuse bucket's getting emptied. That's no fun. Now what are we going to do? Gee whiz. I was counting on bringing that with me to the mission field. I have my suitcase and I've got my excuse bucket. I have it all full. Every situation that could happen, whether it's rainy weather or my soul's freaking out or I get my body's injured, or I have them all ready to pull out one by one so I don't have to let Jesus live through me. I'm real excited about going to the mission field with my excuse bucket full. And the Holy Spirit's coming today and he's emptying the excuse bucket. And he wants to fill it with not just faith, but love and the Spirit of Christ and the heart of God. And he wants to say, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I'm not asking you to do this. I've got something better than excuses to get you through this. I'm going to fill you with my life. I'm going to do it for you in you. That's better than an excuse, isn't it? God is going to equip you with his life and miraculously supply you for the need and even follow with incredible signs, taking care of everything that you were afraid of. So that sure wasn't in the plans for today, hallelujah, but there you go. There you go. Okay. Other hindrances to the believer, and that's on the bottom of page, I think, 68. Lack of dedication, a busyness of life, wrong priorities, and Satan's lies. People aren't really interested. So, you know, that's a similar feel. I guess that's kind of the spirit of the hindrances is, you know, that's the same thing we just said. So, in spirit. So anyway, let's look at some scriptures that I felt the Spirit gave me for today out of 2 Kings. And while you're turning there, it's going to be 2 Kings, chapter 7. But while you're there, I'm going to just read, as you're turning to 2 Kings, chapter 7, I'm going to read Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. It says, Jesus said to his disciples right before he ascended, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And so it's speaking at the end of Luke that Jesus is commissioning them to preach in his name among all nations, repentance, the remissions of sin, and be witnesses of these things. So it's just telling that, to me, that's a verse that we can look at to say he is asking us to be witnesses of these things and to preach that among the nations. Again, it's not a guilt thing. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not a what we make it. It's a spirit and a heart of sharing the life that he just put inside of those disciples, you know, not holding it, not putting it in behind a bushel and hiding it, but letting it grow and flow and go beyond their borders. And that's, you know, that's the heart of it. We make it weird and legalistic because we are full of fear. At least many are. I think all of us at times. I know I sure have been. But the heart of Jesus isn't that way. And the spirit he asks us to go in isn't like that. It's full of love. Full of love. So 2 Kings chapter 7, I think we're starting in let's just start in verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria." Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die." So they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys and the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when those lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried it thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So I think in this story we have the very spirit of what we've been talking about in this class. And that is that these lepers, and aren't all of us lepers when we come to Jesus? We're dead in sin and in the corruption of the flesh. We've lived dead in the darkness of that old sinful nature. Like lepers, we come. And all of a sudden, there's this amazing, vast treasure opened up to us. It's the good news of the gospel, where all the fullness of Jesus is ours by grace, that he paid for it, that it, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. So it's by grace this good news comes, and all the fullness of Jesus is freely given to whomsoever will, be it a leper or a king. It's all laid out, spread out. God himself moved heaven and earth, made this noise, brought this shaking and the quaking to remove the Syrians and open the gates of blessing to his people. It's a type and a shadow. It's a shadow. It's not clear, but there's elements here. And the lepers are the only ones willing to enter into the city at night and see what's going on. But they do, and they discover the fullness, the vast treasure, the resources, unlimitless. And they start hoarding it. They go one tent to another tent, and they just hide it. Can you see the spirit of it? They're like, "Ooh, this was great. Have you ever been in a class? Oh my gosh, this is amazing." And we hide it in our journal. We're going to pray, hiding it in our prayer closet. It's just for me and Jesus. So good, right? And then we go into counseling session, and God moves, and he helps us get out of the clutches of the enemy and the fears of our soul, and he gets us on a straight path, and he washes us with pure water, and we're ready to go back out and live Christ. And we go into that, we hoard it for ourselves. God help me. I got all this now, this wisdom of how to deal with my soul and the enemy, but it's for me. That was all mine. It was my counseling. We hide that. We go into another ministry house. We take it all the goodness of the Lord, hide it. Mine. But they sat there, all of a sudden something hit them, and they went, "Oh my gosh." It was still night. And they said, "You know, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. If we sit here in this spirit of hoarding the things the Lord has given us by grace, by morning something's going to happen. We cannot take the goodness and grace of God and the fullness of the riches and treasures in Christ unto ourselves and not share that." They got convicted. So they ran back to the king and said, "This is for everybody. Come and receive freely the gift of God, the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ." And it's a picture and a type that I felt the Spirit landed upon this morning when I was preparing for class, to say, let's not hoard and hide behind a bushel the words of Jesus in the Gospels. The light that he's poured into us, to let it shine out of us in the midst of a dark and perverse generation, crooked, wicked, and perverse. What that means is they need light. They need the treasures of the living Jesus to pour in their shine, in their give, in their direction. And we, though we be lepers who found treasure, though we may not be fully cured from our leprosy, but are partaking of the divine nature and the we can't wait till morning. We can't wait till everything's tucked away for us and all of our leprosy's cured so we're whole. We need to go, and we need to share the good news and let others partake of it before, you know, everything's not going to be right in our life when we go witnessing. Those lepers still probably had leprosy on them when they ran to the king. But God didn't just give that provision for their leprosy or for their needs. He didn't just share all those things just for us, but it's for others. Amen. It goes beyond us. And we give it just as we've freely been given. It reminds me of the Shulamite who said, oh, you go, beloved, until the shadows flee away and something else, until the morning comes, until the sun fully rises and all the shadows flee away. You go be upon the mountains of Bethair. And you do your thing. But I will remain safe in the walls of my home. And he was grieved at heart with that response from her and hid himself and would not show forth himself to the Shulamite until she got out of her comfort zone and started seeking him with a giving spirit and sharing his life with the maidens of the virgins of the daughters of Jerusalem. If you closely look at what happened in the next chapters of the Song of Solomon, his truest appearing doesn't happen after that moment. Until she's speaking, my beloved is the chiefest among 10,000s. Until she's witnessing and evangelizing the daughters of Jerusalem by declaring him to them, then he appears. He doesn't appear when she just makes it all about her and him only. He appears when she starts giving it away. She starts giving it beyond herself. At sacrifice, she was wounded and smitten by those watchmen when she sought him in the night streets. But again, it was the night, just like with the lepers. She was willing to go because all the shadows haven't fleed away and the sun isn't fully risen in me. Well, so who has got the sun fully risen? When is the day that the full dawning of Christ is revealed in us and there's no more shadows? When the beloved calls and says, come away, my love, rise up, my love. That's the day to come. Even if there's still shadows, even if there's still areas, we say yes to the nature of the Lamb and we say, yes, I'll be with you in selfless giving and I won't make my excuses. And if I do, then I'm going to get up out of my dark night and my bed and my safe excuses zone and I'm going to run after you and I'm going to give your life even with all my imperfections. And that's where she found him. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be one with the Lamb of God. But it's not a cheap grace. It's not just a doctrinal thing. If we really are one with the Lamb, then his nature of selfless giving will override our selfishness and cause us to be a conduit of life for others. Amen? That's the beauty of oneness. In our selfishness, oneness is all about me getting the one. Me getting the one. Like it only goes this way. Oneness is a river that flows only to me. And I partake of all the benefits of oneness. That's not the way the river flows. He is within us as a tree of life. And he flows up and out of us to others. Look at the end of Ezekiel. Look at Revelation at the end. And he brings healing to the nations through us. Not just healings to our soul and our body and our needs. The goal isn't our soul, our body, our needs. The goal is that we be formed in his image and be made whole through oneness. That self-giving nature can go beyond us to the nations and heal them. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's take these things to heart and hold them before the Lord. Ask the Lord, is this just Kelly on a rant? Is she just crazy? Or does she have a problem here? Or is this true? Is this or partially true? Or is this in the Word? Search these things out to see if they be so. In the scriptures and in the heart of God. Because if there's anything here that might truly be from the Lord and not just me, which you have to determine, those are some issues to consider in your true love relationship with God. So Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for fathering our spirits. We thank you, Lord, that you do not just allow us to walk off from your image, walk off from your desire, and not cry out, come back, my child. Stay with me. Follow me. Pick up that cross. Deny that soul. Today is the day to follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. Don't make excuses, but trust him as your head. Uphold him in all things. Let him have the preeminence in all things. Lord, we wonder why this classroom isn't filled with bodies and disciples. Lord, there's a cost to discipleship. Costs us our life. And there are very few who want your life instead of theirs. Lord, may we count the cost. May we look at it for real and not just religiously.
and maybe be with you in the ways that are real to you and that you desire and that you require. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.